Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 416 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Yul Tyra, your co-host, as usual, along with my good friend on the West Coast there, Sam Malai. Sam, how you doing today?
Fantastic.
Has it gotten any cooler out there? I heard it was like 118 degrees or something.
Yeah, we broke records yesterday. It was 118. I still have 118 on my car's temperature meter.
So was it 118 like in the valley, 105 in downtown Hollywood?
Exactly, yeah. So Los Angeles is very close to a place called San Fernando Valley, which is literally about, and it's like 20 degree difference. And I actually went that day on Sunday from seeing 100 to 118.
That's nuts. And who says we're not experiencing global warming, right?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, we got a pretty good show here today, and I'm going to confess we're going to dive into a subject that I literally know nothing about. So I'm as a virgin, a blank slate of understanding with respect to this topic as there possibly can be. So I'm sure I'm not going to be alone either. So it should be great for everybody.
Well, I'm excited for that because I'm on the exact polar opposite. Somebody who's obsessed about Bitcoin, been following it for 7 years now. I first purchased my first Bitcoin. Actually, just looked up this morning on June 30th, 2017. So it's been 7 years. And ever since I bought it, I started getting obsessed with learning more and more about it. And as the years went by, I started becoming, started delving deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, so much so that pretty much for the past 5 years, there hasn't been a day that I haven't spent time learning more and more about it. And why would I get obsessed with something? Because I really strongly believe that it is life-changing. And then we'll explain that today on today's episode. What it is, what it does, what everyone should care about it, and how it could be literally one of the most important things you could learn about. So super important episode for us.
You know, before we get started, do you think there's something about being an entrepreneur that predisposes you to be open-minded to the concept of Bitcoin? The reason I ask that is because the people that I know who are deep into the subject are all entrepreneurs.
It's the like certain traits. I think being an early adopter definitely helps, which is what we are, especially with our show. You know, we lean towards that. And I think when we started the re-round of us starting this podcast over, we said that we're going to heavily focus on this early adopter technologies because that's a competitive advantage for lawyers to be ahead of the trend. So definitely being open-minded is one. Technology, understand technology definitely helps. But ultimately, I think everybody could take advantage of everything that we'll be sharing today. And let's just put a disclaimer. Everything that we share today is for educational information purposes only. It's not meant to be considered as financial advice. For me, you know, again, as I shared with you, I spent hours and years of studying this stuff. It takes that much conviction to really take it to the next level and actually invest in it. So definitely do your own diligence. I hope this podcast episode will be the turning point for you to go invest the time to go dig even deeper. All right, so let's start off. Five important takeaways. I've been compiling piles of notes about Bitcoin. And yesterday I went into ChatGPT, consulted all that information. I also had a very deep thought about what am I going to share because I have so much to share. So I'm going to distill it down to these five main points. If you understand these five main points, you will have a huge advantage over the rest of the market. So number one is Bitcoin is the ultimate savings account. It's a savings account. It's not money. It's not currency. It's not anything else. It's a savings account. That's the way you got to treat Bitcoin. So what is Bitcoin in very simple term? It's a decentralized monetary system. That's all it is. It's a monetary system. It's a way that's decentralized. All it means is it's not controlled by one entity or one person like a bank or the Fed. It's between two parties, between peers, two different people to be able to trade value with each other. And usually this trading is not done on a micro transactional level. Typically, it's people that have Bitcoin and believe in Bitcoin. They're not using it for transactions, for day-to-day transactions. And I really strongly believe it will never be formed as a use of transactions. That it could be there could be other ones that we could talk about later, very potentially, but Bitcoin in itself is meant inherently as a savings account. It's a way to for you to hold value in the monetary system. The elements of Bitcoin is, again, there's no middleman. So there's no bank, there's no payment processor, there's no financial system, there's no Fed to be able to issue it. So that means, you know, there's not just, it's not governed by just the policy of the government saying we're going to go and print this out, which is great. Number two, it's scarce and limited. There's only 21 Bitcoins, which is very, very, very important and very crucial and probably one of the most important reasons why Bitcoin is so valuable. You know, there are scarce assets like real estate and things like that. Those, anything that's scarce and limited, usually over time as the adoption grows or there's more and more demand, well, on the bottom side is how much supply there is. Well, the supply is limited. There's only a finite amount. Right now, there's only 450 Bitcoins that are basically released publicly. That's basically inflated, which is very minimal compared to what's in the market. So it basically has a lower than 1% inflation rate, which is very, very low compared to the 10%, 15% of USD cash. Number three is it's transparent and has an inherent trust factors in it. That means every single transaction that everybody and anybody makes in Bitcoin is shared with everybody in the world. So it's the most true system of holding money. And that's actually, that's the blockchain technology, that every time something happens, every time there's a transaction, everybody knows about it. And that's what makes it also very secure, is that there is no false transactions. Again, as soon as something happens, everybody knows. If there's any, if there is such a thing as a false transaction, then the other transaction will be able to say, and this one is not viable. And that's what makes it so amazing. And number four or five, whatever number we're on, is it leads to financial freedom and sovereignty because it takes the power away from institutions and the Fed and the government, and it gives it to people. And that's a very powerful transformation of where we're heading. Less government, more the power into the hands of people. And that allows, and also allows cross-border transactions. So a lot of people make money and send them somewhere else. Well, you don't have to depend on ACH or wires, complicated systems. You could send money, millions of dollars within 10 minutes to anybody in any country without anybody trying to limit that. It allows people who can't, who don't have access to the bank, to now get access to some form of transaction of value. And it basically opens up this new world of freedom and sovereignty that it, that belongs to the people. And that is everything that I shared with you is very strong characteristics of the more optimized financial system that the world should will over time eventually will adopt. And that and ultimately it's just all it is technology. It's just a better form of financial system. And over time, there's always friction in the middle. Whenever a new change is brought about, people question it, they fight it. Ultimately, the better, leaner, smarter model always wins. Neil, any questions about that? Any of that sounds fishy or anything like that?
No, and I get that part. I get its appeal in that it's not bound by some central authority. It's not tied to a particular banking system or currency of a country. I get that part. Okay. The parts that I'm still unclear about is just exactly how it accrues value and then ultimately how you extract the value back out. And then I have questions about the costs of a system such as this. And I freely admit I don't know what I'm talking about. But
great. So let's dig deeper. And I think it will become, your questions will become a little bit more clear. Number two is Bitcoin is the ultimate asset. And ultimately, you want to avoid altcoins. What are altcoins? Altcoins are these other coins that are trying to adopt, use the same technology, more or less the same technology as Bitcoin, with its own application. So such as if you may have heard Ethereum or XRP or these other kind of gibberish names, those are anything outside of Bitcoin is basically considered as an alternative coin. And what I've seen in this space is that 99.9% of these altcoins are essentially super hyperinflated, and ultimately are going to be worthless. And they're also very risky because, you know, the technology is important. However, it's also very easy to come and create these and release it. So it creates a lot of kind of fake competitors, such as just the same way that there was the online companies. As soon as people discovered the world of selling some things online, then, you know, all these online companies were created, pets.com and all these different things. And ultimately, there was an ultimate bubble. And that's ultimately what's going to happen to all these other alternative coins, where these now these days is literally hundreds and thousands of these different altcoins. Very risky play. And a good rule of thumb is to keep it safe, protect your asset, protect your money, and avoid altcoins as much as possible. There are some certain altcoins that could stand out that could potentially do well. You know, the top 1% of altcoins. I don't want to specifically name out particular ones because, it could be very risky. But just know the safest coin, the safest asset you can have is in Bitcoin. However, that also comes into understanding the perspective of when to buy Bitcoin and all these other assets. The entire price structure of Bitcoin is governed by a 4-year cycle. When Satoshi Nakamoto, who was the inventor of Bitcoin, when he created Bitcoin, he realized that people, the computer systems are going to get improved by Moore's law. So, in order to combat the fast growth of the technology of these computers, he basically created a rule that basically said that every 4 years, the amount of Bitcoins that are released out to the world, we're going to cut it by half. Because if we don't, then the computer system is going to catch on to basically mining these Bitcoins, and it's basically going to get out of hand. So what that does is every 4 years, basically it cuts the inflation by half of these free Bitcoins that are being released out to the world. And what that does is that also kind of controls how the price movement happens. I know this sounds kind of vague and kind of like, what are you talking about? Let me just give you the short gist of it. We're currently in our fourth Bitcoin cycle. And so far, history has shown that there's always, after the Bitcoin cycle, which was the last one was in April 2023, usually there is 2 years of run-up after the cycle. That means it goes up after the cycle. Then greed kicks in. Then the prices really go up. Then at that point, once it becomes really, really overhyped and overpriced, then there's a year of basic consolidation. Price goes down. Then there's a year of essentially just staying stagnant. Then it goes through the cycle again, which is 2 years up, 1 year's down, 1 year stagnant. 2 years up, 1 year's down, 1 year's going stagnant. And if you look at if you go on Google and you search for like Bitcoin price pictures from the beginning, you will see that there's a gradual step up. Every time that it goes through a cycle, you know, first start off as a penny, then it was 10 cents, then it was a dollar, then $10, and 100, then 1,000, then 10,000, 100,000, then eventually a million, then eventually 10 million. Every time it goes through this cycle, it basically goes through this adding on close to almost as a zero to the price. And that takes time. But so you got to have a long-term perspective when it comes to this. This is a 5 to 10 to 20, 30 year kind of asset that you only make sense then. If you try to come into the market and you realize that the prices are coming down 10% here, 20% there, it's because you're looking at the wrong perspective of what this asset is. Super volatile in the short term, but very consistently predictable to be going up over long term. So basically the easiest way to play it is to just acquire and hold on to it as a long-term savings account without being concerned about the short-term fluctuations that happen. For me, one thing that really helps a lot was about 5 years ago, I read Tony Robbins' book called Unshakable, amazing financial freedom kind of book. I highly recommend it. It's mostly in the realm of stocks and things like that. But there was a key principle that Tony Robbins shares in the book, and it's backed up by a lot of data, that basically says long term the markets go up. essentially. Long term, yeah, markets go up. And the best way to win is to just be in the market and not get shaken out by the short term fluctuations. Okay. And that's applied usually for stocks. Bitcoin and crypto is epitome of that, this kind of mindset. Be in, don't get shaken out, and play the long term game. And that's my mindset. I don't get flustered or annoyed when prices go down because I know this is something that I'm holding on to for 5, 10 years, maybe possibly even keeping it for my children. But that time, as it goes through the cycles, it would go from 10,000 to 100,000, then 500,000, then a million, then it goes beyond that. And ultimately, it becomes a really simple game if you treat it as so you have the right mindset about it as a savings account that you don't, that you only basically buy as a long-term kind of asset.
So I have a question. I have a couple of questions. So, and forgive my ignorance, but is Bitcoin a category of investment opportunities, or is it a specific type? Like, is Bitcoin part an example of a cryptocurrency, or is Bitcoin another word for cryptocurrency and there's a variety of different types of Bitcoins?
Great question, Neil. The category is technically called crypto. Cryptocurrency is a little bit misleading because, again, it's not really a currency. Some of them are meant to be used as a currency, but just this is a misnomer. It's not a currency. So crypto is the category. And then in that realm, Bitcoin stands as the first and foremost and the most popular up to this date.
Example of that.
Yeah. Right now, Ethereum is number two. I believe one of my favorites is Solana is number five. All these other ones, number two through 10,000, always fluctuate over time. Again, the altcoins, you know, the variance is very high, but Bitcoin has stayed true to be the long-term kind of assets, long-term savings account, and no other crypto has been able to, you know, remove that.
Okay, so when you talk about a halving event, the Bitcoin every 4 years, you know, has this change. Are they reducing the number of Bitcoins that are available on the market? And if so, how are they doing that?
So that the way that the transactions get verified when I send money to you, Neil, is that there's these miners which are basically in charge of verifying that this transaction happened. And in order for them to actually go and spend the energy, literally the energy for them to go and approve this transaction, they get a little reward in Bitcoin. An amount of Bitcoin that is rewarded to the entire system is right now 450 Bitcoins per day, which is in the grand scheme of things, that's not much at all. As we shared, it's less than 1% inflation, less than 1% that's entered into the system every year. So that number is halved every 4 years to keep up with how fast the computers are improving in the technology to be able to mine it at a faster rate. And that what that does is it basically limits and cuts the supply by half, essentially, the free supply by half. And over time, finite amount, more or less, with increasing demand. Well, it's economics 101, increasing demand divided by limited, super limited supply. All pure, you know, economics means just price goes up.
Especially
when you compare it to, let's just say, US dollars. Well, US dollars, the denominator is the supply of dollars. Well, in the past 5 years, there's been a 45% increase of that dollars. So it means literally in the past 5 years, our dollar is worth 45% less, which is crazy. So every time there's more and more printing that happens, that means anything else in relation to dollars will go up, like stocks and real estate and bonds and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So essentially, it's just it's an asset class is the best way to kind of look at it. Okay. And it's competing with the other asset class. You know, historically, stocks go up 10%. Real estate goes up 10 to 15%. Historically, Bitcoin has been up 44% per year. So that's where that's the competitors that it kind of deals with.
Sure. Okay.
Speaking of which, point number three is the new investment strategy is moving from real estate to Bitcoin. real estate to Bitcoin. Nobody talks about this. So one of the best asset classes in the world, hands down, bar none, is real estate. Most of the millionaires and billionaires in the world they make their money from real estate. I strongly believe in it. I strongly believe that real estate should be 1/3 of your assets, especially, you know, make sure that you buy your home. That's for sure. So let's just get that out of the way. However, over time, in the past couple of years, I've noticed a trend. And here's the trend. And a couple of years ago, Neil, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, the generation before me, people that are like really wealthy, I realized the commonality that they have is they got into real estate early. And I questioned it, and I'm like, well, they got their opportunity in real estate. I didn't, you know, at that time, I didn't have money 30, 40 years ago. What's my opportunity? I kept asking, like, what's my opportunity? And over time, I realized the answer is technology. You know, new things come to the space using automations and softwares and tools, all these things, technology. So that was like kind of, you know, my focus. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, there's a financial monetary system that combines that with technology. And that's what Bitcoin is. And I realized, wait, could this be the new opportunity for this generation? And the more that I studied that, I realized, yes, it is so. So it basically has the benefits of real estate, which is, again, long-term hold, long-term savings account without the downsides. Well, what are the downsides of real estate? Well, there's property taxes, there's maintenance, there's permits, there's literally millions of different taxes and different things pulling you a different way. And I've heard so many stories. You know, my father-in-law deals with a lot of real estate. I hear the horror stories of like waiting for this permit and this, and then this tenant did this happen. I hear all the negative sides of real estate. And real estate, you know, is supposed to be passive, but from what I've seen, it's, you know, unless if you got really, really good assets, over time, it's become even more and more active. And it's not as easy as it sounds. And also, it became so saturated and so competitive, especially depending on your market. Just in California, I forgot about making money in California. So over time, I realized you could either get into real estate, very active, a lot of pain, or you could just buy an asset, hold on to it, not do anything, nothing to worry about, just hold it for 5 years and pretty much guarantee that you will make money. Based on this 4-year cycle, Neil, nobody has lost money from holding onto Bitcoin for 4 years. That's like one of the coolest stats about Bitcoin. Nobody has lost money from holding on to Bitcoin in 4 years. And the reason is every time it goes through a cycle, it goes through the next kind of tier. So if you look at every 4-year horizon, you take anywhere from 4 years, there's no point in this 4 years that's lower than the last 4 years. And it's a really cool stat. So you can't go wrong with just buying it. Super simple game. Buy it, hold on to it. Much easier game than real estate for me. Kind of when the light bulbs went off for me a couple of years ago, I made a commitment to myself. I'm not a real estate expert. It's great. Maybe, you know, definitely want to secure my home. I want to get that down. But outside of that, yeah, I don't want to play in the red ocean of this real estate game. You know, people that are experts, they've been doing it for 30, 40 years, by all means, double down on it and go make more money. But for new people who are entering the market, I think the better, smarter way is this leaner, easier system called Bitcoin.
Yeah, I can see that. I would say that in between the real estate boom and cryptocurrency or crypto phenomena was, you know, the explosion of the internet and, you know, the people who made a lot of money in that space. But that's, you know, it's just cocktail chatter.
All right. So let's go to point number 4. Very important mindset when it comes to winning in this market is don't try to time the market. It's all about your time in the market. So don't time the market, be in the market. A lot of people try to, you know, get stuck into the weeds. I'm waiting for the price to drop. I'm waiting for this to happen. It's very, very hard to predict. From what I've seen in the past 7 years, nobody can predict where prices, what's going to happen short term. Impossible. And if anything, I've always been surprised, like how exact opposite everybody assumes is this way and it always does the opposite. So I don't ever try to time it. I try to time it based on the 4-year market. So I have at this point, it's my third cycle that I've been through. So it got became a little bit more seasoned. So I always try to buy it before the halving, you know, the time during the time when it's a during the bear period, which is basically when it's completely dropped. That's when I get really greedy. Kind of mindset is, you know, get greedy when other people are fearful. And then when times become very greedy, then that's when I just hold back and I don't purchase anymore. So I haven't purchased anything since that having cycle has happened last year. All I'm doing is just watching it. And I don't try to time it for the most part. I just try to try to be in the market, and I try to just accumulate over time when I think over to long term is a good time to, you know, buy it. But I don't try to play these fluctuations. Oh, it went up and then try to sell it. Oh, it went down. Let me try to buy more. Like, don't play the short term game. Just try to be in the market. And the most common mistake that I've seen in people investing in Bitcoin is FOMO, fear of missing out. Fortunately, we're humans and we're all very emotional creatures. And the way that we're built is that when things are bad, nobody wants to get involved. But when things go up and the prices go up, that's when people get interested. Well, unfortunately, that's the completely wrong strategy. You kind of have to be a contrarian, that when things are really bad, that's when you really want to be greedy. And when things are really good, that's when you really want to be fearful. Neil, I have a funny rule of thumb for myself. I'm waiting, you know, for me, I'm looking to possibly play the cycle. That means I'm possibly looking to sell some of my Bitcoin. I'm trying to create my triggers. When am I going to sell? So one of my triggers is when my mother-in-law asks me how she can buy Bitcoin, is when I'm selling my Bitcoin.
Exactly.
And when you see your Uber driver talking about Bitcoin, all that stuff, and you start seeing people that are like not really, you know, into it, all of a sudden you start asking about it and start buying it. That's when you know the smart people are kind of usually selling it. So be very mindful. Again, be a contrarian. Play the opposite game. You know, if everybody's hating on something, that's probably a good, you know, a good time to get into it. When everybody's loving it, it's probably, you know, a good time to be selling it. So be very conscious of that.
Well, let me ask you some questions about the mechanics of this. Where are the markets? I mean, do I just Google where to buy Bitcoin and go from there? Or is there a central repository, which seems to be fly in the face of the whole idea behind the Bitcoin architecture? I'm not sure where it is or where would I go to sell?
Good question, Neil. You're asking a very good question. These days, the easiest way to acquire Bitcoin is on an exchange, basically on a platform that allows you to buy and sell. Very popular exchanges like Coinbase is the most popular one.
Okay.
A bunch of other ones, a bunch of names are like
I have heard of Coinbase.
Coinbase is the most popular one, probably the most, quote unquote, safest one to buy on. Coinbase. Mobile app or on your desktop, they make it very easy. You literally just connect your checking account and you're able to transfer money. And then from that, you're able to either place a limit order, which is what I do. Limit order just means that you just place an order upfront, like before. Let's just say it ran out, the price is 57,000 at the time we were recording this. So I say, if Bitcoin gets to 52,000, then go ahead and buy this much Bitcoin. So that's a limit order. Or you could buy a limit order, which is basically like whatever the market price is, which is 57,000, just buy at this price. Let me just give you some advanced tip. Usually market orders are more expensive than limit orders. So even if the price is 57,300 right now, so put a limit order for 57,200, and you'll get a much lower transaction fees and be able to acquire it. I strongly believe in this. So I got my mom into this. I got my sister into this. Place the limit orders. I kind of like place it for them. If the price happens to spike down, they pick up some cheap Bitcoin, and usually, you know, that ends up being the right play. However,
your point about it being a long term strategy and, you know, a buy and hold strategy, I mean, that rings pretty pretty clear here, because it's not something that's, while it may be easy to get into, you're not buying $100 worth of stock. You're buying something a little more expensive now at a price that, you know, is going to go up based on, you know, results. So this has to be money, you know, that you intend to invest, that you're not going to be looking to extract to, you know, to pay next week's next month's rent.
Yes, and that's actually a great transition to point number five, is you gotta manage your risks. And Neil, you made an amazing point, because as I shared with you earlier, it's a long-term hold. So you better not be investing any money that you need in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah,
it's completely the savings account. Let's just say you make a rule of thumb of $10,000 in my savings account, and an X percentage of my savings account gets parked over here that I'm not gonna touch. And I'm gonna be check on this in 10 years and see what happens. That's the way you gotta kind of treat it. Definitely do not invest anything that you need to be able to live, for sure. Again, we also mentioned manage your FOMO. Be very conscious of that. If you feel that kind of feeling of fear missing out, don't. Honestly, just the easy thing is don't. And right now we're in that weird stage where we're about to enter the FOMO stage. We haven't hit it yet. Literally in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, and the next year, we're about to experience this, and it's gonna be fun watching it, Neil. Be very, very careful. Don't, you know, have that feeling. If you feel like that feeling, don't. Just the easiest thing is to don't enter the market. Maybe just wait for the next cycle to come in, and you'll have to pick up some up. Also, be very conscious of the tax consequences. If you buy and sell Bitcoin within a year, then it will be taxed as ordinary income. So if you're a trader, you're probably essentially giving away 40% of your gains by just trading. Instead, if you hold on to, you buy it and sell a year or more later, then you're in the long-term capital gain tax kind of category, which is much lower taxes, 20-25%. So that's the kind of game that I play, no, much lower taxes. I understand that. And then just a couple of last pointers is, Mama said, it's never too late to do the wrong thing, to do the right thing. So, you know, hopefully this episode has been helpful too for you to kind of open up your mind to this. I want to just share some resources. My favorite resource by far is a channel called Invest Answers on YouTube. It's something that I've been watching every single video of his for 4 or 5 years. Really, really good. Invest Answers on YouTube. He also has a Patreon. It's like $10 a month. Well worth it. Once you get in there, every single day there's posts, there's videos, there's tools, there's commentary thing that helps you get deeper and deeper into this. And then also X, Twitter is also another great source. There's a guy named Fred Krueger, he's amazing. And just be very, very, very careful with the sources that you follow. If you follow these YouTube channels that are just hyping things up or talking about these altcoins, all that stuff, those are red flags. 90% of these YouTube channels are scams. They're trying to pull you into referral opportunities and things like that. Please be very careful. Be very conscious of the sources. The two sources that I kind of gave you with Invest Answers on YouTube and Patreon are probably the safest, best bets. I hope that was insightful. I hope that was helpful. Again, I really strongly believe that it's life-changing. I think the future of all of our financial wealth depends on this. You know, when the government is spending more and more money and inflation is growing, you don't want to be holding on to dollars. You want to have hard assets like Bitcoin and real estate and stocks. Make sure to study these things. And if there's any questions or anything like that come up about this, please let us know instead of a committee called Lawyer Club. I'm always, I'm obsessed with this. I could talk about this all day long. But if you want to follow the discussion, we could continue there.
Well, it's certainly been an education for me, Sam. So I do appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.